This video is sponsored by Surfshark.
Cousin!
Cousin! How you going?
Good, good. You know, harnessing warp travel to hop into demon dimensions to go across the galaxy. Isn't that incredibly dangerous?
Nah, with our Geller field, it's just about as safe as using the internet with a VPN.
A VP who?
Cousin, you mad fool. Using the internet without a VPN is like traveling the warp without the light of the Astronomicon.
Cousin, it's fine. I'm at an internet cafe.
Emperors will give me patience. Cousin, don't you understand that's the sort of place where you need a VPN most of all? Ooh, we gotta get you a Surfshark.
Cousin, it's fine. I'm just sharing some pictures of my nieces and nephews and looking up my banking details.
No ignorance be thy name, dear cousin. Don't you know that Surfshark protects your personal data while using public Wi-Fi?
Okay, but what if I want to go to a bunch of websites that scrape my internet history and or track my location without me knowing it? What then, cousin?
Well, cousin, you might not have the oppressive eye of an Imperial Inquisition breathing down your neck, but that doesn't mean you want randos knowing where you are and what kind of stuff you're doing on the internet. And Surfshark encrypts all of your internet traffic. Encryption, cousin.
But cousin, I'm mostly just trying to watch Netflix.
Guess what? Using Surfshark, you can access over 4,500 servers in 100 different countries. Do you have any idea how much information that gives you access to? How much Netflix you get access to?
Okay, but are those Netflix gonna give me viruses?
What? No. And besides, with Surfshark's antivirus software, you get the same protection against malicious apps as we get from the Sisters of Silence against demonic incursions.
No, it looks like I can go to surfshark.com/cinderblock and try it right now. And if I don't like it after a month, they do a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Use the link in the video description and try Surfshark right now to travel the web as if the Emperor himself was at your side.
There is a lot of Warhammer media. There's books, video games, some animated stuff that varies widely in quality that is behind a paywall. There's even an Ultramarines movie that has good voice actors and... That Secret Level show on Amazon did a Warhammer episode. That was awesome. But until our dear sweet Henry's mystery project with Amazon gets off the ground, that's kind of it when it comes to shows or movies.
Or is it?
Bear with me for a second. In Warhammer, if humanity wants to travel faster than light, which they need to traverse the galaxy, they have to send their spaceships through the warp. This chaos hell dimension that, if you don't have the right protections while going through it, you might find yourself reinvested in some new aesthetics. Figuring all of that out must have been messy. Speaking of which, have you heard of Event Horizon? Spoilers for Event Horizon, by the way. What if there was a movie about an experimental new type of faster-than-light spaceship that had been rediscovered, thought to have been lost? And we followed the crew that was sent to get the vessel and figure out what went wrong. And what they figure out is that this experimental ship has an engine that might just warp the ship into a chaos hell dimension that corrupts anything that goes through it. What happened to the old crew? Bad stuff. Event Horizon is not a Warhammer movie. But let's be real, if that's not literally exactly the warp, I don't know what is. Whether through serendipity, intention, or fate, this movie is a very good interpretation of humanity's discovery of the warp. Pointing to Event Horizon as an unintentional Warhammer movie is nothing new. People have done it for a long time. But that got me thinking. If Event Horizon is unintentionally about the discovery of the warp, are there movies that are unintentionally about the influence of the four major chaos gods? Newsflash, there are. Spoiler for all of these before we start. Spoilers aren't going to be terrible, but still, not everybody wants spoilers, you know? Beep, 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 beep. Slaanesh, aka the Prince of Pleasure, is the chaos god devoted to indulgence, to decadence, and they got a vibe. A type, one might say. You know? This first one feels like cheating, because I look at these guys, and I know what they look like. They even made a Rick and Morty episode making fun of it. Hellraiser. Tell me these aren't Slaanesh demons. Come on. There's a bunch of these movies, and they are varying in quality, but they all boil down to the same basic plot. Someone gets their hands on one of these puzzle boxes. It's a bit like a genie's lamp, except instead of rubbing it and getting three wishes, you gotta take it apart and kind of put it back together. And out pops one of these guys, a Xenobite. They're gonna show you all the pleasures and pains of the Dark Realms. AKA, literally exactly what these Slaanesh demons do. chains and pain and some bondage stuff.
If these Slaanesh demons were a little paler, you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference.
If you want a real classic, this is a weird horror movie that hasn't quite figured everything out yet and it's not the type of movie you expect it to be kind of version, check out Hellraiser 1.
If this is the kind of vibe you're looking for more,
Hellraiser 3.
I'm realizing I'm not going through the plot of these movies, but I also think that maybe I don't need to for this one.
Let's face it, we don't need much plot with this one to understand the comparison. Tempty puzzle box unleashes weird demons from another dimension, a dimension of infinite pleasure and pain, and spikes and boobs.
Okay, but since Hellraiser feels like kind of a cop-out answer, I'll throw you another one.
From beyond, we have a scientist who has invented a new whimsical technology, a resonator that stimulates your pineal gland. Ooh. He's got a dorky assistant, Jabroni Maloney. And when the machine is turned on, they are able to see these weird eel creatures floating through the ethereal air, almost as if they are seeing into a warp-like chaos dimension. The scientist is so thrilled, he's like, yes, we have to do everything, powerful machine, activate pineal stimulation, it feels so good. That's the thing, a lot of this movie is about things feeling good.
Jabroni Maloney's like, I don't know, doctor, I don't know if we should activate the machine. No, it's all about.
The machine goes off, the doctor, decapitated, dead, mystery. This guy, Jabroni, runs away, is blamed for the murder, and committed to a psych ward. That's when he meets Scientist 2. Whoa. She starts like that. You see, she is there to look after Jabroni Maloney, and she runs some CAT scans on him, and she realizes that his pineal gland is in fact expanded, and it leads down this path of her basically deciding she wants to go with Jabroni Maloney and investigate the resonator. Go team! The two of them working together rebuild the resonator and start futzing around with it. And the more Scientist 2 futzes around with it, ooh, the more she starts to feel things. And then she starts to feel herself. And then she starts to really feel herself. And then she starts to feel other people. And then, as with all things Slaanesh, sometimes you just feel a little bit too much.
Yeah, things get pretty bad and Slaanesh-y for her. Things get weird for a scientist assistant also.
Something about 80s and objectification just leads to a lot of Slaanesh-y vibes out of these sci-fi horror movies. Eventually, the old scientist, the guy who originally invented the resonator, he comes back. Turns out he was just hanging out in the weird sensual dimension, getting freaky and fleshy. Anyway, in the end, everyone lives happily ever after. I'm just kidding. She ends up getting taken in for also being crazy and almost gets shock therapy, and then other stuff happens, and then people try to eat each other, and long story short, they try to blow up the resonator. Everybody gets eaten or exploded or goes crazy. Very Slaanesh. Korn is a simple guy. He wants skulls and blood and rage. His demons are big and smashy, as are his followers to the best of their ability. And there is a great movie about a rage virus that spreads across the UK 28 days later. And while this might be my favorite zombie movie ever made, there's not a lot of demonic in it. But when I look at Korn cultists, their aesthetic, their vibe, their goals, there is one gem from the early 2000s that matches it to a T. Let me show you. Boom. Tell me that is not a Korn cultist standing in front of his cadre of buds. And tell me that's not the most star-studded cast you want to see try to defeat them. I'm talking, of course, about the 2001 gem, John Carpenter's Ghosts of Mars. The movie opens with a court tribunal where this lady's being interrogated as to what happened on her mission where she was the only survivor. You see, her and a bunch of officers were supposed to go to this mining colony on Mars. Specifically to pick up Ice Cube, because he was causing trouble. But when they get there, no one's around. And as they're going about their business, blam! Some of the miners have gone crazy and are attacking people. Like, really crazy. And then some of Ice Cube's friends show up and they're like, you know what? People that are here to get Ice Cube, you're not gonna get Ice Cube. We're gonna help get him out, and you're in trouble, and now we're gonna leave you to deal with the crazy people on the Martian colony that have gone crazy all by yourself. Also, there's this old guy. But after how hectic things have gotten with the locals, they all decide to team up and work together as cops and criminals to fight the crazy violent miners. But why have they all gone crazy and sharpened their teeth and turned what they used to own into sort of a Mad Max thing? Here's where the demon stuff comes in. You see, it turns out this mining colony accidentally unearthed a weird ancient tomb. A tomb full of ghosts? Or demon stuff? Where all these ancient spirits shoot out and possess people and make them turn into these crazy berserker warriors. Where they're kinda hard to fight because if you kill one, then the ghost spirit that possessed that body can just leave it and go into one of your bodies. Which probably won't happen to some old guy NPC character that's locked in a cell so all the other characters can safely observe the process. After a bunch of big fighting and realizing, oh, this fighting's not actually gonna work that well because the spirits are just gonna keep repossessing us, they decide to blow up the nuclear power plant. And they do, the end. JK at the end, turns out, remember she was at a trial at the beginning and all of this was a flashback, even though the movie has flashbacks inside the flashbacks and it gets confusing and it's kind of stupid. Well, it was a trial. And she gets to go back to her house and rest. Oh, everything's fine. JK, she hears violence breaking out, and it turns out the nuclear meltdown thing didn't kill the spirits. But then her buddy Ice Cube shows up again and gives her a gun, and they're both like, let's do violence. I can't promise that this is a good movie, but I can promise that the possessed miners really do feel like corn cultists. And if you are at all a fan of Ice Cube, you will relish the time you spend with him on this journey. When did I put these on? Weird. Papa Nurgle, that loving plague bearer. Nurgle is the chaos god of pestilence and plague, but also regrowth, just in kind of messed up ways. Also, unlike the other chaos gods, he weirdly does love his followers. And he likes gardening. Unfortunately, the way he shows his love is by spreading pestilence. So his followers are a little messed up. And sometimes kind of sad. For example, this guy right here, he might look like a big, scared, terrible monster, but it's actually just a big old sweetie, and it just really wants to give people hugs and cuddle, kind of like a Labrador retriever, but it's so full of pestilence and plague that it accidentally crushes and kills and infects anything that it touches. But through his blessing, most of his followers are not at all bothered by the gross strangenesses that are happening to their body. They are genuinely contented, at least while his influence prevails. And a lot of them are pretty much plague zombies. So maybe a zombie movie would be a good representation of Nurgle. There's so many to pick from. Maybe this is a good opportunity to point out a lesser known zombie movie that still holds up and is a lot of fun. Or maybe the zombies from The Last of Us. Or The Last of Us. Those guys got a whole bunch of weird infection, mushroomy growth things going on. That feels pretty Nurgle. But there's a problem with The Last of Us. There is science behind their plague. There's not a lot of demon in any of these movies. I do know of one, but I'm conflicted because without telling you anything about the movie, just saying that it is a zombie movie that would work well as a Nurgle movie is kind of spoiling the end. I think this might be one of the better found footage zombie movies ever made, and I also think that the ending being spoiled doesn't really take away from what makes it a great movie. If the ending was completely different, the movie would still be fantastic, but if you want to watch this, the little ooh at the end is going to be less of a ooh and more of a ah, okay? Have you heard of Rec? It's a Spanish found footage movie from 2007. There's an American remake, I haven't seen it. The Spanish one though, was so good. I'm not gonna go through that much of the plot in this one because I do think you should just watch the movie, but hopefully I'll paint enough of a picture so you'll see why this is not just a very good zombie movie, but a very good idea for a Nurgle plague movie specifically. The framing of the movie is there's a reporter that's doing this late night TV show called While You're Sleeping, where she goes around and follows around people that do late night jobs. And on this episode, they're following around some firefighters. That screenshot's silly. They get a call that an old woman needs help in an apartment building, so they go to help. And the rest of the movie takes place in this apartment building, and the apartment itself is a huge part of what makes the movie work so well. Look at that front lobby. Look at that only staircase. I wonder if there's going to be any ominous stuff about people needing to run up and down the stairs a lot in this movie that's really, really intense and done super well. Spoilers, there is. A few times. Okay, so the firefighters and the reporter are going up to this apartment building to help this old lady. But when they get there, she's a little aggressive. And bitey. As more people in the apartment start to be like, what's going on? They realize something. The police or the government or the military has sealed the building off. No one is allowed to leave. The reporter is trying to figure out what's going on while also doing her best to try to keep it like a interview show. But you know, zombie stuff starts happening. A lot of it. This is the part where I don't want to explain every single thing that happens in this movie because the series of events and the way it's filmed is just fantastic. But basically, the government poses that, oh, this is an infection in here and we have to seal it off. Eventually, they figure out the only way to get out of the building is to get a key from the penthouse apartment. But, and now here come the big spoilers, they find some weird stuff. Some spooky religious weird stuff. And it turns out the guy whose apartment this is was doing weird experiments on the Vatican to try to stop some sort of demon disease. Turns out he didn't do a great job. The end. Seriously, that is pretty much how the movie ends. The two things that are working together in this movie that make me feel like, okay, this really could be a Warhammer movie. Things that the other zombie movies might do a little, but not necessarily together. Demon plague. And maybe more importantly, demon plague that the government seems to be somewhat aware of, at least enough to quarantine the building and give misinformation to the people. And what is more Warhammer than a Nurgle plague infection starting to spread on a planet, all while the people in charge know what's going on but are doing their best not just to contain it, but to conceal any information about what it actually is from the public. There are a lot of worlds controlled by the Imperium that don't really understand the breadth of the Imperium. Most people that live under the Imperium have no awareness of the vastness of the horrors that are going on around them. They're just living their lives, trying to do their own thing. And in my opinion, Wreck is a great example of what it would be like to be one of these ordinary people as a Nurgle plague starts to spread across their planet. If Slaanesh is all about indulgence and the extremes of pleasure and pain,
and Korn just likes smashing stuff,
and Nurgle's all plague and family, then Tzeentch is weird stuff and birds. The Changebringer is the god of madness and the search for knowledge and seeing into the future and into the past and transforming into tentacles and weird timey-wimey nonsense. It's ambiguous enough that there's a lot of movies that are Tzeentch movies if you just squint a little bit. You ever hear of The Void? It's about some folks stuck in a hospital when a cult arrives to do tentacle interdimensional stuff. How about Into the Mouth of Madness? It's about a guy who's trying to find a writer who writes a book that does tentacle interdimensional stuff. Or The Thing, where a group of scientists have to deal with a weird otherworldly tentacle-y thing. You get it. There's a lot of these types of movies. So since our cup runneth over with options, I think the best option here will be from my personal experience. So I'm going to talk about a movie that genuinely made me question my own reality for a moment. In real life. The Endless. Doesn't that look pretty Tzeentchy? Look at that. But before we get into that, let's give an honorable mention to the movie Resolution. It's about two buddies that go to a remote abandoned cabin so one of them can help the other deal with his drug addiction. But then some very weird stuff starts happening where they're finding tapes and some of them are of themselves and there's strange, mysterious stuff. It's a movie that stays ambiguous pretty much the whole way through. It's a small little low budget thing, but just wanted to give it a shout out. The Endless follows two brothers that were raised in an apocalyptic UFO worshipping cult. But they ran away from it and have been trying to build a life separate from it ever since. That is until they got a strange VHS from the cult in the mail asking them to return, just for a little. The younger brother really wants to go back, the older brother really doesn't, and they decide they'll go just for the weekend. And when they get there, things are nice, but kind of strange. For one thing, the main characters left when they were kids. They're grown-ups now. No one in the cult has aged. Another minor detail, sometimes there's two moons in the sky. Also, they play a game where they play tug of war with the moon. And it seems like something is pulling back on that rope going into the sky. The older brother is pretty sure it's just somebody on a ladder out in the darkness, but who? Everybody's here. If that sounds at all interesting and you're like, oh man, maybe I'd like that movie, I would stop the video here and go watch it, because you don't need to know more to get into the fun, and the big twisty reveals and things are really fun if you don't know what they are. Here's your last warning. Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop. Weird stuff keeps happening, but it's all sort of just like, well, cult people are weird. Eventually, the brothers get into a fight, and one brother decides, you know what, I'm staying, and the other brother decides, you know what, I'm leaving. Also, the cult talks a lot about if there are ever three moons in the sky, then it is the time of ascension, and that's what the cult wants them to be there for, is that they're having this moment of ascension that they want everyone together for, that they're building up to. As the older brother is trying to leave, he starts discovering people in time loops. The whole valley they're in is full of these bubbled time loops, all different lengths. And it appears they're created with intention by some eldritch creature that just likes messing with people, and these time loops are essentially sacrifices to it. There's this one guy that's in a tent that is in like a 3-second time loop, gets super violently killed by something, and then just reappears back in the chair. Along this journey, we learn that the cultists are on a time loop also, it's just a longer one. But we also learn if that they can get those brothers to be there when the loop resets, they can never leave. So he's gonna go back and get his brother. One group caught in a bubble time loop he bumps into are these guys. Do you recognize them? Because it took me a second to. Originally, one of them brought the other to this cabin to help him get through a drug addiction, but now they're just stuck hanging out here forever. Do you recognize them now? Yeah, because it's the same guys from the same movie that I talked about in the honorable mentions. This one, Resolution. Yeah, when I noticed that, it made me go a little poof crazy in my brain, because Resolution is a movie that I saw randomly late at night when I was looking for weird, fun indie movies, and I kind of put it away and didn't think about it anymore. It felt like a movie that I saw and no one else would ever see, you know? So when they showed up in The Endless, it felt like this eldritch, unknown, time-warping entity that just loved messing with people was doing the same thing and messing with me. The truth is way less eldritch. Turns out they were all made by the same guys who like making their movies interconnected. But a movie that makes you feel like it is watching you back, if only just for a moment, has got to be like the zinchiest thing I've ever heard. Also, all the timey-wimey weird eldritch monster stuff that gets explained in Endless kind of does explain what's going on in Resolution also in a way that's kind of fun. Eventually, he finds his brother, they make up, and there's a couple lines of dialogue where it's like, oh, I love you so much, my brother. I love you so much, my brother. And it's poorly written dialogue. It's the only part of the movie that I don't like, but I don't care because it's towards the end and who cares. They work together to drive away, just as the eldritch entity that's been building this little time bubbles to mess with people eats everything, and they're like, oh, we're escaping! And the rest of the guys, they don't escape. They're like, yep, we're here forever. Dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk. Time resets. Maybe this isn't the most on the nose, that's a cult of Zinch, and it exists in the Warhammer as much as the other movies, but it did poke my brain in the way that Zinch pokes the brains of mortals in the realm of 40K more than anything I've ever watched. Alright, so there's a bunch of different movies that are kind of Warhammer-y if you squint a little bit. What do you think? Was I totally off? Was I totally on? Did you like this? Should I do more of this? Movies about kind of the Imperium, or about orcs, or about Xenos, I don't know. What do you think?